Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, January 14th, 2013, episode 571, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
I like that opener. Anyway, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Monday. We had a lovely weekend here in Florida over the weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up. But first, I had to mention something that one of our listeners, Judy, posted on your Facebook page this morning. I love this. It's a picture of an innocent-looking little child, looking rather pensive, a baby. And on it says, how do I put this? You will never sleep in again.
No, I'm one up on you, Judy. I never sleep in anyway. I have a farm.
You're going to never sleep. That should just say you will never sleep again. Forget the sleeping in.
Exactly. Thanks for pointing that out, Judy. Well, it's supportive.
That's funny. And it's coming up. Coming up very quickly.
I am well aware of how quickly it's coming up, Glenn. I'm living it, so I get it. But I rode this weekend. I did a jump school with my horse Jet, and don't tell the doctor, but it was really fun. And Chad was out there, and you know what? He's starting to get nervous now because I'm showing pretty good, and he's starting to get nervous when I jump. But he said, well, I'd rather be out here being jump crow than you out here doing it by yourself. So he was jump crew, and I was like, okay, put him up four holes. No.
Pretty soon, the shackles are going to be out, and you're going to be tied to the bed. You realize that, don't you?
No. That's how we got into this whole mess. Oh, TMI.
That's a good place. That's a good place for Jennifer to jump right in.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, this is a G-rated show, I promise. Horsey headlines abound this morning as our hosts establish a tone for the week with a bevy of, by golly, horse news bits. And next up, our favorite scientist, Dr. Gordon Chang of Omega Alpha, is here to inform us on inflammation. And to conclude this Monday's miracle of podcasting merriment, the wily voice of Horse Nation is here with the hottest headlines from that place. And on this day, in 1973, Elvis Presley's concert from Hawaii was broadcast via satellite, and it was the most watched satellite broadcast by an individual entertainer in television history. So there you go.
That was his big comeback. That was Fat Elvis days at that point.
Well, no, that was his slimmed down version. Remember, he lost all the weight and, you know, was trying to clean up his act for that one.
Yeah.
Guys, he's all right, open up for you guys.
Yeah. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to the Horse Radio Network Hunter Pace team that over the weekend participated in the Hunter Pace down there in Tampa. We had Coach Jen and Wendy were out there riding Hunter Pace over the weekend with the alligators and the snakes. How'd it go?
It went great. We were awesome.
Now, you rode Beaker, our quarter horse, and then Wendy rode who?
Wendy rode Duke, who is one of her four-in-hand team. Well, he does everything. He drives single and pairs and four-in-hand. But he is a Welsh Cobb Arabian Cross. So after the 8.8-mile course, he was just getting warmed up. And Beaker
was dying.
Just dragging his butt, yeah.
Now, did you jump? Was this jumping involved, or...?
We entered the non-jumping class. They're all optimum time. There's an arbitrary time that nobody knows, and you try to mimic that as if it was a hunting pace, and you can either jump or not jump, but the courses were parallel. So by entering the non-jumping class, that gave us the option to jump or not. Neither Duke nor Beaker are jumpers by trade, and Beaker especially, because I've never even really tried to jump him. But he kind of got the wind up under his tail this weekend. I think he was a little intimidated being out there with Mr. Fancy Pants Duke, who was doing a pee off the entire way around. he didn't walk one step. It was pee off or gallop. There was no walking. So I popped him over a couple of the little jumps out there, and he got some serious air time, that boy. He blew his cover.
Nice. So he's going to be a little jumper, huh?
Well, at the very least, now we have confirmed that if his friends go flying over a 2.5-foot coop in the hunt field, he will follow suit safely. That's what I love it. Hang
That's
on and close
great.
Your eyes, though. It's not pretty.
Now, I love Wendy's post because I saw this, I believe it was Saturday morning, and she posted off to the South Creek Hounds Hunter Pace riding with Duke, Jen, and Beaker. But I feel like I forgot something. Oh, yeah, 4 more horses, 2 carriages, 2 sets of team harnesses, and a golf cart.
She was traveling light.
They did so much easier to ride.
So Wendy showed up in with Duke, 1 horse, 1 saddle, and 1 bridle, and a pair of breeches and a helmet, in a 45-foot-long, 6-horse gooseneck.
Nice.
She has the biggest trailer because normally she's putting 4 horses in there and 2 full-size carriages and all the stuff. And there's
That's
a golf
crazy.
Cart in there somewhere, too. So it's a huge trailer. It's funny.
Wow. But, that's huge. That's awesome.
Very good. Well, good job, guys, representing the Horse Radio Network down there in Florida. And you didn't see any alligators in the swamps down there?
We did not see any alligators. We were sure to splash aggressively upon entering the water and then hustle. The first thing Beaker did when he got his knees into the water was stick his face in, start blowing bubbles, and threaten to roll. First thing he
now,
did.
Jennifer, do you watch nothing? If you splash about, like, that's when the alligators think that there's a maimed animal in the water. And if you just splash around a little bit, you don't scare them off, you intrigue them. So I'm glad you made it through alive, but you really need to start focusing on, I don't know, the Nature Channel a little bit more.
Ooh, I just thought of something. I guess that
they didn't lay
the
down the roll.
Who behind us probably had angry alligators on their heels.
Hungry, angry alligators.
Your turn.
Hi. I have 2 Daily Whinnies, Glenn, and I don't want any comment from you at all for this first one. I would like to give, because this is my Daily Whinny, I would like to give actress Angelica Houston my Daily Whinny for today, my first one, because she has been named the 2012 Person of the Year by the animal rights group PETA. So suck it. Next one, please.
Where did that come from?
All right. My next Daily Whinny goes to a man, a myth, a legend, a guy who has gone into retirement. He has come out of retirement with his whip just flailing in the air on the backs of these horses, galloping down the home stretch. I'm talking about, of course, Gary Stevens, who had a victory, his first comeback victory since he's been back out of retirement. For 1 week, really, it's all he's been out of retirement. And he won this weekend, and I believe we have a little bit of an interview with him. So congrats, Gary Stevens.
Love to.
Gary, we saw you smiling. You're a guy that, you put your game face on. We saw you smiling coming back after you won. How does this feel?
It feels great, exceptional. Like I said, winning for Tom Proctor and Glen Hill Farm makes it even more special. And, they really weren't expecting big things today, but that's what makes it so much fun riding for them is get what you can get. If you win, it's gravy, and today was gravy. She's a very nice filly. But Mike Smith and I, we were having a little chat on the way back, and it was funny because we were on the treadmill today. Not the same treadmill, don't get me wrong. He said, you rode so good because I ponied you today. He was on the treadmill to the left of me, and we were on there for about a half an hour. Didn't say a word to each other. We both had our iPods on, and I don't know what kind of music he was listening to. I know what I was listening to, and it was the right music today.
Gary, one thing we've heard from you recurrently over the years is confidence, such a huge factor in this business. You rode this race with a lot of confidence. Those two other fillies, they kind of got away from you, and it looked like you were real happy with your position.
I worked quite a few horses this morning, and the track, because of the wind that we had and the real dry conditions, perfect for snow, but not exactly a racetrack. And it was a little bit on the cuppy side and tiring, and they were getting with it early on the first quarter of a mile, and I thought they might come back to me, and my filly was traveling real well around the turn. She didn't really accelerate coming into the stretch, but they stopped pretty good.
Gary, are you back riding full-time right now?
Yes, I am. You can consider me a full-time rider.
Gary, congratulations. On behalf of the fans, it's great to have you back.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, buddy.
Nice. Gary Stevens was aboard the horse Branding, and really, it was a great race because, like you were saying, there's two horses out to the front. They shot to the front, and you thought, it's a 7-furlong race, so it's not a hugely long race. They shot out to the front, and they were gone. And he was sitting in third just waiting. And as soon as he came around the final stretch, he just blew from behind, went right between him, and finished probably about two lengths ahead of the second-place finisher. So it was a really good race.
Well, congratulations to Gary. One of the things that struck me about that interview was these guys ride, 25 horses a day between the workouts in the morning and then the races, and they're on the treadmill for a half an hour each morning.
I know.
Just
they're
amazing
so
amazing athletes.
They are amazing
just
athletes.
Amazing.
Now you can see why he couldn't do it when he had a bad knee.
Yes, exactly.
He did do all that.
Exactly. Well, there's a lot of news. Let's get to the news from the weekend. Some days we fight to find news, and today we have a ton of it. And the big news that broke, I don't know if you were following this at all, on Friday around, Eventing Nation and all the other blogs and websites, was that Rolex, it looks like they're on the way out as far as the FBI is concerned. The FBI announced that several of the shows that have been sponsored by Rolex in the past are now going to be sponsored, and I hate this because I can't say the name of this watch company. It's the one that starts with an L. Do you know how to say it?
It looks like Longings or something.
Longings, yeah. I don't know how to say it. But anyway, they have now replaced for the FBI World Cup show jumping events. Longings will now be the title sponsor for that. And the big question over the weekend was what's going to happen to the Rolex three-day event in Lexington? That's what we know it by, the Kentucky event. And apparently it has been announced that Rolex will return as the title sponsor this year to that event, but nobody's sure what's going to happen in future years. They have been the sponsor of that event since 1981, since it started. So, I would have been sad to see, wouldn't you? I mean, it's just you say Rolex.
It's not the Kentucky three-day event, an international three-day event. It's Rolex. I mean, that's what everybody calls it. So I'm glad that they are going to stick to their guns and continue to do Rolex. But, yeah, it is weird. It that just goes to show you that in business, it's not about loyalty. It's about money, and money talks. But, yeah, I think Jen just typed it in as Longines. That's everywhere, yeah.
Oh, that's
why couldn't it at least have been tag? Tag here, like hey, sponsored by Tag, not Longines. So
yeah,
that's really stupid. That's,
don't they know how hard that is for us to say on a regular basis?
And
aren't they
it's
thinking
now
about us
brought
all?
To you, brought to you by Swatch.
Well, there you go. And besides, who buys watches? Do you wear a watch?
No. No. We have cell phones now.
Who buys watches? Does anybody buy? How can they afford to sponsor anything is my question.
Trust
I've
me.
Always asked that about Rolex.
Glenn, there are so know. Many more people in this world that have so much more money than we do. It's not even funny. Like, don't hurt yourself.
But why are they buying watches? Oh, you have your cell phone. That's what it's for, is to tell time.
Yeah, but Rolex, you know, or something like that is obviously, like, I would, if I had a Rolex, I would wear it in special places, what? Not to the barn.
Not to the barn, right? What else is in the news, Jamie?
All right, well, a bunch of different things going on. And like you said, it was definitely one of those busier weekends. But just a little bit more about horse racing. I don't know why I'd love to follow this story. And I don't know. I know why. I don't like this guy at all because he's dirty and he's got bad training methods. But we're talking about Rick Dutrow again, who trained Big Brown, who could have been a Triple Crown winner had he just utilized the tools that were there, but no, he messed everything up. And remember, Rick Dutrow was brought to the racing board and was going to get kicked out. And yes, he was finally banned for the next 10 years. He's still training. He was banned for 10 years and fined $50,000. And the guy's showing up at the racetrack. This post was posted on Friday and updated on Saturday. So he was still there on Friday and Saturday. The article starts out with, trainer Rick Dutrow said that he will not let a recent ruling by New York State's highest court, which would allow regulators to take away his license to work in the state, to stand without a fight. He says, quote, I was born in this game. I'm not going to stop. There's no way in the world. They're going to have to take me out in handcuffs. I will keep going from there until they take me off. You know what?
All right, take him
off. Take him off in handcuffs. What's the problem here? You're such a jerk. I mean, like, who says that? Being interviewed by the Blood Horse, hey, dummy, you're still out here training. Thought you were not supposed to be here. Oh, they're going to come get me and shoot me and take me off in handcuffs. Okay.
Yeah, but one thing I don't understand about this story is this is New York. Could he go to another state and just be a trainer there?
Yeah, he could. He's only got his license that's been basically revoked in the state of New York. So, yeah, he's a dummy, too. He could go to Jersey or, I mean, if he's so in love with, like, the Northeast. But I don't know. I mean, maybe this will follow him, and maybe that's the way it works. I don't know.
Huh. Interesting. Well, in racing news from over the weekend, I just posted a video of the zebra races down in New Orleans. Remember we talked about the fact that there was going to be zebra racing down in New Orleans at the racetrack down there. And
yeah,
apparently it drew an overflow crowd. This is the most spectators that they've had for a normal racing day, but probably in their history. It's Fairgrounds Race Course. And it was a special night of racing. They raced zebras, ostriches. They brought in ostriches and had ostrich racing. But the zebras, there were four zebras in the race. And if you watch the video, you're going to see that three of the zebras crossed with their jockeys and one crossed without their jockey, with the jockey pulling it by the reins. In the video, you don't actually see where the jockey comes unglued, but two of the zebras as they came out of the starting gate. By the way, how did they get zebras in a starting gate is the first question. As they come out of the starting gate, two of the zebras went into a bucking fit. And then one zebra takes the lead by a good bit, I mean 10 lengths. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the race, you see these other two zebras coming up from the outside, and they pass the zebra to win the race. It was actually an exciting race of zebra racing. The jockeys looked huge on these zebras, by the way. Tiny jockeys are.
Were they real jockeys or were they just random people?
Apparently a couple of them were real jockeys, and then there were a couple training riders, you know, the morning
riders
were out there. Yeah, exercise riders were out there. But the I didn't find a video. If anybody can find it, please post it on our Horses in the Morning page of the ostrich races, because apparently that was funnier. There were some some guys getting dumped in the ostrich races. So if you can find that, please post that.
That's got to be on YouTube because somebody had that was watching that.
I know. We have to find it. We have to find that ostrich race and post it. But anyway, you can find the video on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning.
All right. Well, Eb Louisant, who, as we all know, is the half-sister to Zenyatta, and, of course, out of the same mother of Zenyatta. That's why she's so – I think everybody stares at her so much because she's not just another one out of the same daddy. She's actually the next year's baby out of the or a couple years later's baby out of the same mom. And so Zenyatta's sister, Eb Louisant, is actually now – remember, she was supposed to race a couple weeks ago. And she went into where there's the pre-race check that they do, and she bumped into something, cut her hip, and she was they just basically scratched her because she banged her hip on the stall door. So she has now entered in another race, and that race is going to be January 17th at Santa Anita. January 17th, she's going to race. Five horses were entered, and it's a mile and the 16th allowance race, $58,000 purse. And she will be there trained by John Sheriffs, who trains Zenyatta.
Wow. You're going to have another one to follow there, Jamie.
I know. I'm actually thinking, like, okay, let's see. Santa Anita's only 6 hours away. When is this? January 17th. Chad's going to be out of town. I could do it. I could go.
Well, Mucho Macho Man comes back this week, too, down in Southern Florida on the 19th. Let me take a look here. I think it's like the 19th, this Saturday. He comes back down in Southern Florida, and we have to try and con Jennifer into going down and watching that. Definitely. Well, the other thing, too, is in good news for racing is Keeneland over the weekend. They always have the horse sales at Keeneland. Well, January is the Horses of All Ages sale, which is just as it sounds, horses of all ages, racehorses. And it concluded Friday with the ninth highest gross sales in history and the biggest since 2008. $45.2 million in gross sales at this week's auction. And it surpassed last year's total by almost 20% over last year. The number of horses sold, 1,100, was 10% more than last year. And the average price, you could have picked up a few, Jamie, $40,900. Yeah.
Those were too cheap for me, you know. You don't want a $40,000 horse. Jeez.
And the top yearling filly. Now, this is a yearling filly, okay? Get that. 2007 Kentucky Derby winner Street Sense, a filly on Street Sense, sold for $1.45 million, and that was the one that we talked about last week to Regis Farms. That maintained the top spot.
Well, you know, that's what's so amazing about training off-the-track thoroughbreds, or when you have an off-the-track thoroughbred and you decide to go back and research their history, and you look at your horse and you're like, holy cow, somebody paid $80,000 for you, you racetrack reject. I mean, that's the thing is, these horses are, they're all, most of them are losing their money back. I don't know how these people keep going. I mean, what's the incentive?
I know. It's amazing how much money is spent. You know, we hear about the winners and the Kentucky Derby winners and how much money they're all making, and that's, you know, 0.1% of millions of people losing money every year.
I know. It's just amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Hey, just to let you know that every horse on the racetrack may not always stay on the racetrack, and they maybe sometimes want to leave. Like, I feel like there was a horse over the weekend that was running at Laurel Park in Maryland, and I'm pretty sure that that horse would like to retire. And the reason I say that is because this horse was being ridden, a four-year-old gelding named Bullet Catcher, had gone out and hit the track and worked and came back. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning Friday. Maryland, you know, traffic, still it's wrapping up around 9, but it's still pretty thick around 9 a.m. in the morning. And this horse, Bullet Catcher, is with his jockey, and they're heading back to the barn. It's like, yeah, I'm done. It bucks its jockey off and takes off down the road. Runs out of the racetrack parking lot. I don't know. I mean, you would think they would have better gates, I guess. It runs out the parking lot, goes down the road. Another jockey sees the horse running, jumps in a truck, starts chasing after the horse. It's running down the street. And imagine being a non-horse person and seeing this, or just being like on your regular ride to work in the morning and you see a horse galloping by. Well, it finally got tired after about 1.6 miles in front of a car dealership. And the jockey that was chasing him in the truck was able to pull into the car dealership and wrangle this racehorse, who was probably darn exhausted. And they said that he was fine. He had some abrasions on his feet and probably a little bit sore, but no major injuries to the racehorse that decided to not be a racehorse anymore by racing out of the racetrack.
I've been on that road before. Route 1 outside of there is a very busy road. Route 1 everywhere along the East Coast is a very busy road. And he is a darn lucky horse. There's actually a video that I saw on one of the news sites of somebody behind him that was had their camera, you know, video phone out, and were videotaping him. And he was booking. I mean, he was not going slow down Route 1. He was darn lucky horse he didn't get hit.
Yeah, it's amazing he didn't get hit, but he was not. He was out of there. He did not want to participate in the racing anymore. Most horses run back to the barn, you know?
That's right. I'm thinking he probably wants to be a nice little trail horse somewhere in the woods someplace. Although he'd be great to the city. He'd be a great police horse. He obviously is not scared of the road.
No, definitely not.
Hey, over the weekend, some news coming out. We had some carriage issues over the weekend in Arizona, your home state. We had a buggy that flipped over. Now, you guys have a lot of canals, right? Apparently, to control water. Well, this was in Mesa, Arizona. They have these canals that they can funnel the water. Well, apparently, this canal had about 4 feet of water in it, and this guy with his buggy, you know, out working his horse, came a little too close to the edge of the canal when his horse spooked at a car that was parked along the canal, and apparently the buggy's wheel caught the edge of the canal and flipped over into the water, down an embankment and into the water. The driver managed to bail out, but the water, there were 4 feet of water down in the canal, and the horse was still connected to the carriage, ended up in the water. But apparently the horse's head was well above the water, and the driver managed to get down and unhook the harness and get the horse out safely, and the driver and the horse are both fine. They didn't say anything about the carriage. I'm assuming that it probably needed some work.
Oh, my gosh. Well, looking at the picture, holy cow, that thing is trashed. And it looks like
that's
one
a different
those...
one. That's a different one. There's two stories. I know which one you're looking at. This was in Scottsdale, Arizona. It was one of those carriage ride concessions. And apparently three women that were going, that were there in town, went for a ride in the carriage, and the horse spooked, took off like a bat out of hell down the road with the driver. They said the driver was trying really hard to stop this horse. He was standing up on the carriage trying to pull the horse back. Well, apparently they got to an intersection, and I don't get what happened here, but the driver managed to get down, but the horse exploded. And they ended up crashing and turning the carriage over, and all four of them, I think, ended up in the hospital. Everybody's okay. Apparently, the horse is fine. The driver and the horse were not injured, but the four passengers in the back were a little banged up. So
it
was a bad weekend for carriages in Arizona.
Let me get this straight. So you're telling me that two times in two different places in the city of Phoenix, because Mesa is right outside of Phoenix, and so is Scottsdale, two times this weekend there were buggy crashes?
Yes. Yes.
What the heck? Well, see, you know what it is, and I'll tell you what's going on here in Phoenix. It's crazy.
Zombies?
Because it's not zombies. It could be. The reason, it has been at night. Last night, the low was 24 degrees.
What?
And 24. It is. I came out for the first time since I've lived here. My muck tub, I had to shut off all the water to the automatic waterers and fill up muck tubs because our waters are plastic and they'll expand and break. So I had to get muck tubs out and fill them up with water in each one of the horse stalls, then shut the water off. And for the first time ever, we had an inch of frozen ice on top of all the water troughs. The chickens' water froze. Everything froze outside. It's crazy. I had to cover my fruits and my vegetables. It's nuts. The lemon tree is probably toast at this point. I couldn't cover that. It's huge.
It's cold in the desert at night, eh?
Well, this is as cold as it's ever been since he's been here, and he's lived here 6 years. So it's just really, it's about 4 or 5 nights in a row where it's going to be freezing. It's the last 3 nights, and then the next 2, it's supposed to go under freezing, which is crazy for Phoenix. So that's why all the horses are going crazy. I'll tell you what, my horses have been nuts. You know, they it's cold. They're not used to it. They're like, woohoo! This is great!
Yeah, finally. We won't tell you that it's been in the 60s and high 80s every day here in Florida. We won't mention that.
Yeah, but that's what it's supposed to be here. It's just that we have a weird Arctic front that's come through. And I know that over on the East Coast, one of my friends posted, and she lives in Atlanta, is anybody worried about global warming? It's 75 degrees here in Atlanta, and this is just awful. And I wrote, honey, listen. It may be 75 there, but it's 28 here in the desert. So you just go ahead and be quiet.
I thought about you over the weekend, and you can Google this. There are some amazing pictures. Australia had a haboob that was incredible. There's some pictures of it. Just look up Australia haboob, and it's called a red haboob because apparently they're having a dry spell over there in Australia, and parts of Australia are really, really dry. And their dirt and sand, it tends to be more of a reddish color. So the haboob was red. I mean,
no
it was very impressive in the pictures. And it reminded me so much of, obviously, the ones you've lived through. And this thing was huge. I mean, huge. And I can't imagine. I know we've talked about this before, but that's, you know, Jennifer and I have lived through almost every kind of thing that you can imagine weather-wise. But never a haboob. And seeing that wall come at you must be something else.
It definitely is, but a big red one looks like fire coming at you. That'd be even crazier. But pretty much if you see one of those coming, just they don't travel like in the movie Hidalgo, where they're like so fast and you have to gallop away from them at breakneck speed. They actually move pretty slow, but the wind
inside
them.
Fast. Okay.
They move faster. They don't move as fast as the one in Hidalgo where he's like, run, you know, he has to gallop into the thing. Not like that at all. But the wind within them is so violent. And you just know that pretty much here it comes. Like we can see it probably about 5 minutes before, 5-10 minutes before it gets to us. So we see it coming. Oh my God, get the chickens in. Come on, chickens. Come on, get in. I don't want them to blow away.
When it gets to you, because it's heavy, high winds, do you feel the dirt hitting you? Or do you feel the particles?
Oh, you get sand in your eyes and in your teeth and everything. You don't see. It's not like you have come out and when the thing's over, you'd like in this one, you'd have a red face or anything. But, yeah, definitely sand is hitting you, and you feel it for sure. Helps you.
Interesting.
Well, at least
Dr.
mine
Chang has. Going to be with us in just 1 minute here. Jamie, I think we have time for one more short story, if you have it.
Well, let's see. Another case of a man being drunk riding a horse down in Florida. You proud of your state?
Oh.
My state wrecks buggies.
This is the one that this guy, we talked about this, actually. We had this in our news a while back, and he was drunk riding a horse down here in Florida, and he got pulled over, and he tried to escape the police. He tried to run away. Why do people do that? You're going to get caught. Don't even bother. But he tried to run away, and then they caught him. Well, he got time served. Apparently, he's been in the jail since when? September. He didn't have enough to get out in the $7,000 bail. So he had some detox time is basically what it came down to. So they gave him time served and 3 years of probation.
I wonder what happened to his horse because, like, he was on his horse, he ran away, and they chased him. So it's like police chase on a horse, which is ridiculous. And then they said, finally, when the horse got too tired, he had to stop, and then he got off and started running. So he, like, ditched his horse.
Yep. The horse finally said, enough of this. Done. Here, take him. Give me a new owner, please. All right, Dr. Chang is ready if you want to take him.
Well, and we do appreciate Dr. Chang coming on to join us on about one Monday a month to talk to us. And we do really appreciate you sponsoring our show as well, Dr. Chang. Of course, we're talking about Omega Alpha and the famous Dr. Chang, who is the mastermind, the evil genius behind everything Omega Alpha. Good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Thank you for that wonderful intro. But I don't know about the mastermind part, you know.
Wait a minute. He's not denying the evil part.
Well, the evil, that goes with the territory. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've met you, and you're anything but evil, so it's all
good. You haven't seen my evil side yet. Okay.
So how's it going? What are we talking about today?
Well, today I think I'd like to talk a little bit about inflammation. Now, inflammation is a huge topic, and we really can't do justice on it in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever time we have allotted here. However, I'd just like to bring up the point about inflammation and why it's important that we have inflammation, and more importantly, why is it important that we should control inflammation, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, the reason we have inflammation is an important tool for the body to help rebuild damaged muscle. It's an important tool in the body to help fight off infections, right, and a whole myriad of other things that with inflammation. The problem with inflammation, though, is that if you look at the physiology of inflammation, there are many feedback control loops that help control inflammation. But many times these feedback loops do not control inflammation well, and inflammation just goes on and on and on. The problem when that happens is that it inhibits control of repair. So you'd have, think of inflammation as if you're trying to build a wall. Inflammation is the gut. You have workers who put the bricks up on the wall and stack them up. Inflammation is the guy that comes with a chisel and starts knocking out the bricks at the bottom of the wall, right?
Okay.
That's what inflammation does, right? So if you think you have chronic inflammation all the time, the guy's bringing up the wall, but then you have the guy coming and knocking out the bricks. The wall never gets strong enough. So it's a constant chasing this thing down to get it repaired. That's why many of the equine athletes that you see, if you see them limping and so on, and sometimes you see them, well, there's nothing wrong. Why are they limping? It's because of inflammation, right? Sometimes there is a reason for them to be limping because they tore a muscle or something like that. But if you don't control the inflammation, the repair mechanism is inhibited, so it takes longer to repair. That's
now,
why
when... Question for you, if I may jump in. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a horse, my event horse. He mm-hmm. needs a lot of help with one of his hocks. He's an ex-race horse. He was run into the ground, and I'm lucky he's still competing now. And when he comes out of the stall and I start working him, he's always a little bit lame on his right hind because of that hock. And he works out of it, and it's just like he's a little bit stiff. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit of arthritis, but is arthritis inflammation? Are those different?
Arthritis is a result of inflammation, right? The reason when you start working him, if you notice, he probably frees up a little bit, and you find that it's almost like you work the kinks out. Right,
yeah,
and then he's sort of like he's fine and he's not bothered anymore. Well, that's because when he's resting, here's what happens: the products of inflammation just pools in that general area. So once you start working him, the blood supply comes in and starts washing it out from that area and dilutes it into the general circulation. And when that happens, it's sort of he's in less pain and he frees it up, so he's able to do things better for you. But because of that chronic inflammation that keeps on going, every time he's resting and he's not moving that area, right, that it gives it a chance to build up inflammation or the products of inflammation in that area. So that's why it's important to control inflammation. In the human world, if we look at it, there's a theory that a lot of reasons people get heart attacks and so on and building up of plaques in the bloodstream is because there's chronic inflammation going on at the level of the vein, of the veins and of the arteries. So when we say that, we're talking about in the tissue of the veins and the arteries itself. And that because there's chronic inflammation, what the body's trying to do now is to try and repair that. So it puts down a lot of white cells. The white cells come in and attack it, etc. Now, I want to move back to the equine world now. So when you have a horse that's a little bit stiff, etc., the stiffness a lot is because of the products of inflammation. So what you should try to do is to basically try to control the product, try to control inflammation. The problem with trying to control inflammation, though, is that most of the modern medicines that's available for the pharmaceuticals out there is very hard on the stomach. All right, the first line is the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. And to get what we call a pharmacological dose into you, it is very, I mean, it can cause ulcers in a lot of the horse's stomach. So you pick your poison, either the gimpiness and the stiffness or the ulcers in the stomach. Right. Fortunately, there's a whole bunch of different herbal solutions that you can use that will help fight inflammation. All right. It'll help control that inflammatory process.
Now, I'd like to point out that, you know, Butte, of course, is kind of one of, and I'll say it too, Butte, obviously, is one of the standard things that you give a horse when it is, it has inflammation somewhere. And, you know, I'm to the point now where this horse, the same horse I'm talking about, I don't want to give him Butte because he has chronic ulcers. I've treated him for ulcers. He's already been on, he actually, the first thing to turn him around was your product of Biotic 8 to kind of get the bacteria in his gut in a healthier place. But I worked so hard to get his stomach and his pretty much his whole digestive tract back in working order that I cringe when they say give him Butte. And anytime your vet comes out, the first thing they say is, oh, just give him a week in the stall and, you know, 2 grams of Butte twice a day. And I'm like, oh, first of all, if I left my horse in the stall for a week, he would kill me. Second of all, he's going to have ulcers from all the Butte. And that just seems to be the first thing that the vets go to is the Butte and stall rest. And do you have something else that you could use as opposed to Butte?
That's right. We have a product which we call Anti-Flam. Right? Anti-Flam is loaded with specific anti-inflammatory herbs that have an anti-inflammatory effect. And we find it works very well with a lot of horses for any type of lameness issues, laminitis type issues, navicular type issues, anything to do with the feet, right? And in general, in our hands, we've used it in a lot of situations with people with things like stiff muscles, stiff neck, all those type of things. It works really, really well for those, right? Now, I want to clarify something what you said with Butte. There's a time and a place for everything. And there are certain times, you know, whether you like it or not, you've got to use Butte because it's a very powerful anti-inflammatory. So if your horse was to fall and you see some major swelling somewhere or something like that, Butte is not a bad thing. It'll bring that swelling down. It'll control that inflammation. The problem with Butte, you can't use it forever, meaning on an ongoing basis, right? Otherwise, as you said, you'll have major problems with the stomach, right? With the ulcers in the stomach. So this is a good, the product I was just talking about is a good alternative to use. And again, nothing in their tests. If you were to use it, you get results fairly quickly, meaning that you don't have to use it for 6 months before you say, oh, it's working, right?
Right.
Most people see results within about a week or so or less, right? And so they know it works.
Wow. So that fast you can see some results. So what is it to kind of get a little more involved in the science? I'm sorry if anybody's listening and this is boring you, but I love this stuff. How does it work? How does it go into the system and herbally say, go to this place and take out the inflammation?
Well, basically, I mean, okay, one of the things that we do know, when we do the liquid extracts, okay, because you don't have to digest it out, it's already, all the active ingredients are already in the liquid. So all all the horse has to do now is to absorb it. Absorption is one of the easiest things for the horses to do. Once it's there, they can absorb it. They have a hard time digesting it out, but once it's there, it's easy to absorb. Once it's absorbed, one of the things that it will do, as an anti-inflammatory, one of the things that it has antioxidant properties, so it inhibits what's called free radical damage. Right? Free radical damage is one of those things that can cause inflammation. Inflammation is a process where, if you think about it, if you have an infection or damage, here's what happens in a physiological sense. What happens is the blood rushes to that area, the white blood cells get activated. Once the white blood cells get activated, and the reason they activate the white blood cells is the white blood cells come in and they're loaded with free radicals, they're loaded with enzymes and so on. And these things just come and they chew up, they attack the bacteria, or if you have damaged tissue, it just chews it up. When it chews it up, you have the products of chewing up these bacteria and the damaged tissue, etc., causes is a chemical signal for more white cells to come. It says, hey, guys, we need help. So it gets more and more coming in. So you can see it's a positive cycle. You attract more and more white cells. Now, on the flip side, there are some mechanisms which will help. If you keep fluid moving, it'll help wash it out of that specific area and goes into the general circulation. So that dilutes the chemical signal. Also, there are specific mechanisms in there which inhibit that response, right? As I said, though, but if it's ongoing and you have chronic inflammation, that's when you need the help with the anti-inflammatories, right? And the anti-inflammatories really, really do help to help control that inflammation process. And if you can control the inflammation process, you increase the speed of healing. And that's a take-home message, to increase the speed of healing.
Okay, so when we give these products to these horses, we all know that Butte can come in a powder form, an injectable form, anything. I believe that Omega Alpha, everything comes in a liquid form, most everything. And so is this another liquid? Can you put it on top of the feed? And my second question is, when you open the container, because I have some other products too that I hope are still good, but when you open the container, how long does it last? Is this something you're going to give every day for a while, or you can give some of for a while and then some of later?
It depends on what you're doing with your horse. If you are in competition during competition season, you know you're aggravating the muscles quite a bit. It's like anything else. Even all athletes need a little bit of rest and relaxation, right? You can only train them so much, right? But during competition, if they're out, like in the racing world, if you're jogging them every day, you know, and you exercising them every day, what's happening is that you're tearing muscle fibers every day. And one of the things with tearing the muscle fibers, the body repairs it, makes it stronger, right? That's why you tear. However, that tearing of the muscle fiber causes inflammation. If you can control that inflammation, it heals faster, heals better. So for horses like that, you probably use it on a daily basis. For your backyard horse owner, right, who has your horse owner who only uses his horse on the weekends and so on, if you have a stiff horse, you know, you would use it until you see the stiffness go away, and I'd continue for another week, and then afterwards you can just put it away. Now, if you keep the product refrigerated, it extends the shelf life, right? It'll probably be good for about 3 to 6 months in the fridge, right? Once it's open.
Okay.
Right? But most of the product we sell, it comes in different sizes, so you shouldn't be buying. If you're only going to use 1 liter, you shouldn't be buying 4 liters, right?
Okay.
And you just keep it in the fridge, and it'll last.
Okay, good to know. So, and can you pour this over the food, or is this the dosing syringe?
Yeah, you can pour it over the food. The only reason I like dosing syringes, because if I use a dosing syringe, I know he gets all. If you put it over the food, it's hit and miss, especially if it's a liquid and you're feeding him grain and it leaks between the kernels of grain and it goes all the way to the bottom of the bucket. So unless your horse is one of those that licks the bottom of the bucket, you know, you might leave a little bit of it behind. right? So, I mean, just depends on your horse and
now,
what kind of eater he is.
Fortunately, pretty much all my horses lick the bottom of the bucket.
Inhale.
And when I go to dosing syringe, they get about half, and then the other half goes all the way down to my armpit. So I do appreciate the fact that you can put it in the food. That's fantastic. Well, Dr. Chang, where can everybody find these products?
Well, they're available in a lot of many different tax stores now. Some of the online stores, you'll see them there. You can always, if you go on our website, OmegaAlphaEquine.com, you'll have a list of all of the stores in the U.S. that carry the product.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Chang.
And by the way,
I
was just going to say, by the way, this month, I did get it right.
You did? I'm very proud of you. I thought I'd ask you again if you'd read up.
Hey, Dr. Chang, are we going to see you in a couple of weeks in Philadelphia?
Actually, no, but I will be in Ocala end of the month. I think you guys may be back from Philadelphia by then. So I'll give you a call when I'm in the area.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have dinner or something. That'd be great.
Will be great. It would be nice to see you then.
Take care. Thanks, Dr. Chang.
Thank you.
So we go to Philadelphia for an event that Dr. Chang's usually at, and he comes to Ocala.
That's fantastic. What a great idea.
Well, let's take a break for our song today. That was very good, by the way. And he explains things so easily, even I understand this complicated stuff.
What?
Very good.
You?
I know. I know. It's amazing. Let's do a little The Long Run by Templeton Thompson and Sam Gay, and we'll be back with Leslie from the Horse Nation with what's wacky stuff's going on over there.
Thank you.
Well, that's The Long Run by Templeton Thompson and Sam Gay. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And today, we are also sponsored by Fleeceworks. And the Horse Nation Report today is brought to you by Fleeceworks.
And horse folks, I am here with Judy McSwain, owner of Fleeceworks. Judy, it gets very confusing because there's wool and there's fleece and there's fake wool and there's real wool, and the words all seem to blend together.
One of the things that happens here in the U.S. is people use the term fleece, and under that umbrella, there's actually three different categories. There's the artificial fleece, and then there's sheepskin, which is sheepskin. It's fleece on a hide, and then there's wool, which is where we take the fleece and we shear it off the sheep, and we blend it and weave it onto a cotton poly background. So there's actually, right off the bat, there's really three divisions underneath it. And acrylic is a fake stuff. What we do is we have the genuine sheepskin, and that's where it's on the hide. And then we have a new ferrowool, which we've shorn off and woven it, and it's on a cotton poly background. What's unique about us is Fleeceworks uses what we call Australian merino. And that's unique in that there's different types of merino. You're correct when you say that you think of a hunt coat. There's a merino suffered cost. There's different merino, what we call hybrids. But the Australian merino sheep is the finest wool-producing sheep in the world. And then there's different, you know, there's different types within there. And so with Australian, it's whether it's the climate or it's the years, it's the breeding, but it produces this just amazing, beautiful wool and sheepskin. And that's one of the things that Fleeceworks is noted for, is the softness of it. It's very fine sheepskin or very fine wool, but it's very dense. And because it's fine and dense, it allows it to be soft without being bulky.
Uh-huh.
So what you do is you get the balancing, the thermal balancing qualities without bulking up underneath your saddle.
So check them out today at fleeceworks.com. If you want a high-quality saddle pad that performs as advertised, hit them up.
Well, thanks to one of our listeners, Judy, Jamie, I posted, she found this a video of the giant sandstorm that hit. Remember we were talking about the one in Australia that's red, a little different than the ones you get? Amazing video. It's just amazing. I don't know if you got to take a look at it, but it is
cool.
It is an amazing video. Huge, just huge. Well, let's also, one other thing here before we get to Leslie over at Horse Nation is that there was another news article. I'm trying to find it. Oh, every year at the beginning of the Winter Equestrian Festival down here in Wellington, Florida, they have something that pits the women against the men in show jumping. And they have the challenge of the sexes. And for the last couple of years, the women have won the battle of the sexes. This year, it's the Nespresso battle of the sexes. Well, Saturday night at the beginning, again, of the Winter Equestrian Festival, they had the competition. And the women prevailed again for the third year in a row, Jamie. And they were led this time by Mayor Bloomberg, Mayor Michael Bloomberg's daughter. Came back. If you remember right, last year she had a back operation. She had to have her back operated on to fix a couple of things, and she's just coming back into competition now. And she did quite well. Georgina did quite well, and she led the team to their fifth consecutive victory. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, for the women's team. So the men pretty much haven't won in a long time.
Yeah,
the women dominating.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah, you should be very happy.
So, girl power.
Now, when you hear the names, though, you'll understand why. Margie Angle, Laura Kraut, Marilyn Little, Nicole Bellissimo, Debbie Stevens, Brienne Gotell. I mean, just, you know,
who were the guys that tried to take down that squad?
Well, I'll tell you what. The guys were so unimportant that they didn't even mention them in the article. Not one.
Oh, there you go. Who cares about them?
We won, so who cares? That's funny.
That's
But yeah, they did quite well, and it looks like Georgina's coming back strong. She also earlier in the week won the Attaquin 7-year-old Young Jumper Championship qualifier with her first homebred mare, South Street. So she's getting off to a good start, and it looks like her back is healed. So good for her.
That's fantastic. Well, I think we're going to have Leslie Wiley on here in a minute. But, yeah, are you as big an addict of Horse Nation, maybe I should ask Jennifer this, as I am? Because, holy cow, like, I read that website all the time because it comes up in my Facebook feed all the time.
Right. Yes, all the time. Yep.
And it's totally tempting, but I'm amazed at how many articles they write almost on a daily basis, 4 or 5 different things a day. Does she have a day job? I mean, geez.
I don't think she does. I think she does horse. Well, let's find out. Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation is here. Hello, Leslie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey. Good. We were just talking about you. Jamie was commenting about how many stories you post every day and wanted to know if you have a real job.
Oh, girl, this is my real job.
Okay, there you go. Well, then if that's the case, you need to start posting more stuff. I mean, 4 or 5 a day, that's it? Really? Seriously? Come on. Get to work.
Now, I have the best job ever. I mean, there's days when I'm like, I think I'm going to Google horses eating potato chips and maybe write a story about it. And I'm like, I'm getting paid for this? Seriously? Is he paying me to do this? This is
that's
amazing.
Awesome.
The American dream.
Yeah. It's almost as cool as waking up every morning, Leslie, and doing a show, a radio show from your house in your pajamas about horses.
That's almost as cool as that.
The difference is Jamie's done by 9 o'clock her time, and you're just getting started.
That's
difference.
True.
Sleep in. You get to sleep in. Jealous.
Sure. So I get this email from Leslie about today's show, and it starts with Badger Faces, Black Silver, Birdcatcher Spots, Brindle, and Bloody Shoulders. What's all that about?
Well, one of our biggest stories, or a couple of our biggest stories last week, were involved horse colors and coat patterns. It sort of got started. One of our readers posted this picture of her horse on our Facebook page. And with a note about, can anyone tell me what color my horse is? And it's this sort of weird, chestnutty, black, gray, you know, you just have to look on our Facebook page.
It's a chestnut black gray bay. Duh, chestnut black gray bay. Hello.
Obviously. So this amazing technicolor horse. And plus, and to make matters more complicated, it keeps changing colors, she says, you know, with all the seasons. So I'll put it out there. And then that got me sort of thinking, I wonder what other weird colors are out there. And I just started looking around the internet, and I came up, just started stumbling upon all of these crazy pictures of horses of a different color, literally, and all these crazy coat patterns and crazy colors, and I didn't know what any of them were, you know. So I posted them all online, and then our readers are so smart, they are so educated, and they seem to know. I mean, they just started chiming in with, oh, this one's a Pentelusa, and this one's a, and I'm like, what, Pentelusa? This one's, these are bird catcher spots. This is some sort of, you know, this is brindle. This is, you know, some sort of weird mutation, somatic mutation with the genes. And I'm like, wow. Our readers are so smart. So it's I think it's definitely worth looking up these stories. One's called 15 Horses with Really Cool Facial Markings, and the other one is called, this is the original one, Dear Horse Nation, Help, I Don't Know What Color My Horse Is. So check them out.
Now, on the one, the Help one, I Don't Know What Color My Horse Is, the first one is the zebra-striped horse of some sort, And I clicked on the link to the Tumblr blog that it's on, and it's a pic. The Tumblr blog has nothing but pictures of unusually colored gypsy vanners. And so I've been, the whole time you were talking, I wasn't listening because gypsy vanners, one, are amazing looking horses because of all the hair. But they, I didn't realize they came in this many colors. There are creamsicle colored gypsy vanners, which I didn't know that happened. I mean, really creamsicle colored. It just amazing horses. Some of these pictures are just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, gypsy vanners are gorgeous enough anyway, and that they come in all of those various color assortments is just so cool.
What's the strangest colored horse you guys have ever had?
You know, I don't know. I keep getting just bay after bay after bay after bay. It's almost comical at this point.
Let's see. Yeah, I was trying to think too, and I'm like, craziest color ever. Well, I had a dark bay that got sun bleached in the summertime and looked buckskinned. But other than that, it's pretty much chestnuts.
Oh, you're
Jennifer, too.
That girl.
I can't help it. I can't help but be a chestnut. I mean, I think mostly I end up with dark bays. Dark bays are chestnuts.
I think that's true of us, too. We've had a couple of grays and stuff, but I'm a black. I like black horses, which are really boring when it comes to talking about colors. So that didn't help much.
I've never owned a gray horse, and I have had throughout my life, you know, with horses coming and going and finding and training them and getting, rehoming them and all that kind of stuff, I've probably had 25 horses. Never once have I had a gray.
Well, lucky you.
I'm saving, listen to this, I'm saving that gray color pattern for when I import my Andalusian stallion from Spain. So, I'm holding off. Hurts. I'm holding off.
Oh, man.
So now, go ahead. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, so in addition to the color story, we had another story with the really interesting facial markings. And I thought that one, I thought that story was even more entertaining than the one with
I know I'm going to get emails, but what the heck. Some of the Appaloosas are very disturbing in their facial markings. I have to say, I'm looking down through these pictures, and some of the Appaloosas where the white just goes in strange places around the face are just disturbing looking. Am I the only one? I must be the only one. I'm going to get email.
You can dig your own grave. There you go.
Thanks for the help.
One of my horses has a perfect star on its not a perfect star, a perfect heart on its forehead, which is pretty adorable.
Is that the one in the picture here? The one picture?
It's not as perfect as that star. that horse with a heart. That's pretty cute, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the first picture with the white around the eyes and all the way around the face like that was kind of weird.
It's a little weird, right?
Yeah, that's kind of strange. Looks like a reverse Lone Ranger. All right. Let's talk about stock ties. You did, not only do you cover goofy stuff, you actually did some, you wrote this article, I think, about it's called Fashion Report, Not Your Grandmother's Stock Tie.
Right. Yeah. You know, stock ties have always just driven me crazy. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just like, why do we have to, what purpose does this serve? You know, I know, so stock ties, I kind of got into researching the history of how stock ties came to be, and they date back to the 18th and 19th centuries when everyone was wearing stock ties. They were, they're sort of like everyday apparel. We put a picture on, I found a picture of Thomas Jefferson wearing one. And then, eventually, of course, they sort of faded out of fashion for everyone except for, of course, the horse world, which still, of course, dresses up like it's the 18th and 19th century when we go to those.
I hate stock ties. They're never comfortable. They never, like, I even bought the one that looks like a bib, and you just, like, Velcro it around your neck. It's too tight. And I'm not a big person. I don't understand how, like, people with big necks actually can wear them. They're awful.
It's time for them to go. And I just I've gotten just stat. I mean, there's nothing more terrifying. You know, I just remember, like, growing up and getting, being like, Mom, can you tie my stock tie? And just getting stabbed in the neck with, you know, when your stock pin always gets dull. And it's just traumatizing. Me and stock ties are just not on good terms. Until I guess 2 or 3 years ago, I decided that I was finished. I was done with the traditional stock ties. And, you know, there's sort of, I think I called it in the story, a stock tie revolution. there's all these really cool pre-tied stock ties available now. Different textures, different materials, different patterns. The one that I just bought this season, I took a picture of it in the story. But it's just sort of like, it's almost like a ruffle down the front. You know, it's not tied. It's just, it's really interesting. I'd never seen anything like it. I think someone pointed out on our Facebook page. It looks a little bit like something that one might wear with, like, a baby blue tuxedo in the 70s. I can rock that. But there's just so many neat stock ties available now that I think, I'm so glad to see the traditional ones getting sort of phased out. That's exciting.
Yeah. I'm glad there's other ones. I have a girlfriend that has, like, it's so beautiful. And the underneath the neck, it's a little ruffly kind of under the neck. It wraps around Velcros right to your, you know, just right around you. And it has, like, the little kind of plushy kind of bib in the front. But on the neck is just this beautiful ornate beading that it stays put. You don't unpin and unpin it. It's part of the stock tie, and it is just so pretty. She said, and everybody always says, Where did you get that? And she's like, oh, I got it at a horse show like 10 years ago. And so it really has lasted a long time. So it's nice to see that they do have some more options, because she got it from somebody that made it, I think. So anyway.
Yeah,
so there are some good ones. But I want to talk to you about something. My BFF, because I didn't know that we were BFFs. I mean, I kind of thought we were, but you confirmed it for me. I did, but I'd never heard you say it. So it was a little awkward, you know, being one-sided, until I read the article, Horse Nation's Guide to Facebook Stalking Hot Polo Players. I'm going to stand up right now and give you a round of applause for that article. Well done.
Oh, girl, you get all the credit for that, because you guys were talking about the hot polo players last week, and that was another. I was just like, yep, I gotta do a little research on that. Yep.
I'm really proud of you, because you went all in. You didn't just stalk these people on the internet; you actually stalked them on their very own Facebook pages, and I'm proud. I'm proud of you. You highlighted a couple of the polo players, one being my favorite, Nacho Figueras. Nacho is called the, as you put, the David Beckham of polo. That gives you an idea, ladies. He is ridiculously hot. He is a Ralph Lauren model. I mean, he's crazy. I did love the general impressions is that he lists his personal interest as spending time with my wife and children, music, architecture, and playing polo. You're like, wife and children? Boo. And next. So they have to be apparently single. And then you found a guy named Facundo Pierres. Tell us about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a babe. oh, look at those eyes. I'm looking back.
Yeah.
He's currently ranked number one in the world. I'm just going to stare deeply into this guy's eyes that are on my computer screen. He is a very successful polo player. His entire Facebook page was he was written in Spanish, which was pretty hot. Like, I don't even know what they're saying, but lots
awesome.
Of pictures of this guy playing polo, waving trophies around. One of his lead pictures is, you know, there's like bottles of champagne, you know, it's getting sprayed all over the place. Clearly he just won something very important. Yeah, that guy is a babe.
Yeah, he is. And then you followed it up and wrapped it in a nice, neat little bow with your favorite, Nick Roldan, who was, there's no hot American polo players. So the first one that we had, Nacho, I don't know where he's from, I think Argentina maybe. And then you've got Facundo, who's from Spain. And then you've got Nick Roldan, who was born in Buenos Aires. So you actually found him, and he actually writes his own blog.
Mm-hmm. He does. He writes a great blog. And apparently he's just a really nice guy in general, and does a lot for charity, and seems like a super babe with, you know, some real who is actually doing good things in the world also.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Seems
like a classy guy.
I gotta tell you that I can't say who. I can't say too much about this because she has to keep it private. But we did get an email. Apparently, between our discussion and your article, we got an email from – it got the attention of the polo community. Let's just put it that way. And they wanted to know if we wanted to do an interview with Nick Roldan. So we're trying to get that set up right now. We'll have to make sure Leslie is on with us that time so we can embarrass her right in front of him. We'll have to make sure she's with us that day.
All right. So what we're saying here, Glenn, is if we talk about a hot guy, we'll then get to interview him. Well,
apparently.
Let's sit down and talk a little bit about my friend Leonardo DiCaprio. Leo! That guy is done. It's amazing. No, actually, that's awesome. So we might actually get to talk to Nick Roldan. I didn't know if you were going to mention that, Glenn, or not, but that would be fantastic. Him and Leo, those two would make my week.
So are we
but
interviewing them in person?
We keep forgetting.
Maybe we can arrange that in their underpants.
What we say and what you post on yours, people are actually reading it that might be in those communities we're talking about. So that email we got just proved that.
Yeah.
Yes. We have to watch what we say. Or just really, really whatever we want, just really throw out there and some will stick on the wall, basically. I love it. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for the ability to stalk Nacho and Nick and Facundo, because they are now all Facebook friends of mine. We've been friends for like ever, like a week. So thank you very much, my little BFF.
Absolutely.
All right,
okay.
Talk to you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye. I love how she spells the word hot, too. It's HOTTTT.
Obviously, Leslie is her own editor because she pretty much spells things and does things the way she wants over there at Horse Nation. And it is a fun blog to take a look at.
Yeah. That needs to be part of your day.
I got a complaint.
Uh-oh.
There was these crappy awards last night. This is what I thought you were going to bring up. I'm trying to bring them up now here. Let me bring up the winners here.
Golden Globe?
Yeah, we had the crappy Golden Globe Awards last night, and I thought that that's what you were going to bring up when you started your Daily Winnie today, because Anne Hathaway did Best Supporting Actress at the Golden Globes for Les Miserables movie. And then Les Miserables movie did pretty well, actually. Best Picture, Musical, or Comedy. And then also the guy in it. What's the guy's name? Looking at the long list here.
Jean Valjean. It doesn't matter what his fake name is.
No, Hugh Jackman.
Earl?
Also got Actor, Musical, or Comedy. Hugh Jackman took that one.
Yeah, he plays Jean Valjean in the movie.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Now, best actor, I'm happy to say, went to Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln. But the best picture drama actually went to Argo.
What?
So, yes, Argo got the best picture drama. And then the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award, she doesn't hardly seem old enough, but Jodie Foster got that, and she came out of the closet again, by the way, in her awards speech last night. Basically just confirming what everybody knew, that she was gay. So she, I don't know why she had a need to do that during this particular award show, but she did.
What did she say?
She basically just came out and confirmed it. She was kind of funny. If you watch the video, it was kind of funny. She is charming. I have to say she is charming. And the work she has done is not as bad as the work some others have done. So, you know, it's not, she's not too hard to look at it still.
I can't believe Argo won Best Picture, but how did Lincoln do?
Lincoln didn't do well at all, other than that award. Life of Pi got Best Original Score, movie score for the song, and then Anne Hathaway Supporting Actress, but that was pretty much it. Now, Jennifer will be happy to know that Best Supporting Actress for a series, miniseries, or movie went to Maggie Smith from Downton Abbey. So,
yay!
I'm very happy to see that, which should have recorded last night, Jennifer.
Yeah.
We have one to watch. Take the rest
Man.
Of the day off. I can tell you doing the rest of the day.
I'm bummed. I wanted to watch that because Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, I just Googled it, were the hosts of Golden Globes. Did they do a good job?
I don't know. I didn't watch it. I just read the reviews this morning of what happened. I didn't. I can't stand the show. I just can't get through those shows. I just can't do it.
No,
all the award speeches and what. Just put me right to sleep. But, best animated film went to Brave. Remember, we talked about animated films for the Oscars. We'll see what happens with that. But that's it. And there was a movie. There was a horse, obviously, in the animated film Brave. What was his name? I can't remember. Big draft type. But that's from the now we'll see if Lincoln does any better in the Oscars. But your movie did quite well. Chad will be unhappy to know.
That what now? Did that oh that oh. What?
Chad will be unhappy to note that Les Miserables did quite well at the Golden Globes.
It was fantastic. It was a beautiful movie, and Anne Hathaway definitely deserved to win. And I think that you have to go see it now.
Okay. There's one thing I cannot stand in movies, and that is I can't stand musical movies where they sing. I just can't stand it. I can't stand if there's three songs in an animated movie. I just can't handle it. So, I don't think I'd do. I had been one of those people in front of you getting up and leaving after about 10 minutes.
Man.
Have you ever left a movie early, by the way?
Oh, heck yeah. I leave movies all the time. But if I don't like it, I'm out. And I'll go back to the person that I bought the ticket from and say, that was terrible, I want my money back, or an extra ticket. And they will. If you leave a movie early, they will give you either a ticket to get like to come back some other time, or they'll give you your money back. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We just used to leave early and sneak into another theater, you know, to watch something. Well, I figured I paid for a ticket, and I'm not watching this one. I have a right to go watch a different one. I'll never forget one of the worst movies I ever saw. I'm trying to remember. It was something Rita. It had Rita in the name. It was a Woody Allen movie. I just can't stand Woody Allen movies. And my girlfriend at the time drug me to this Woody Allen movie, and I just got up. And she was liking it. I didn't like it so much that I got up and walked out and said, I'll meet you outside. And she finally came out. But I just couldn't stand it. Woody Allen is just the worst. I just can't stand Woody Allen movies.
Yeah, no, me neither. You have to be a special kind of person to like Woody Allen movies.
I think
I don't know who, anybody who likes them. So you must be really special and rare.
Somebody will come to our page. We're going to find out who likes them here very shortly, I'm sure. Well, let's wrap it up for today. We'll be back on Wednesday live. We'll have another show for you tomorrow. Don't forget you can listen to all the past episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. And you can catch all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. Almost forgot what I was going to say.
I can't believe that Ben Affleck won freaking Best Director. Are you kidding me? It beat Steven Spielberg. Ugh, that's
stupid.
Okay. Now, apparently the Golden Globe, Steven Spielberg has not done very well. So, and they also said if you win the Golden Globes, you're less likely to win statistically the Oscar. And I think they would all rather have the Oscar, don't you?
Yes, without a doubt. So screw them. Anyway, we don't care about the Golden Globes anymore. Love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us and being a part of today's show. Spay, neuter, and yell, please.
Hey, everyone. Have a great day. Enjoy your week.